Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. We all have moments in life when we feel overwhelmed, times when we need direction and protection. The psalmist David experienced these feelings, yet he also knew the one who could lead him through life's dark valleys. David knew that as our good shepherd, God wants to provide for us every single day. Today, Joyce takes a deeper look at David's Psalm 23, breaking it down verse by verse, revealing the freedom we can have when we follow God's leading. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
Well, I'm teaching out of the 23rd Psalm, and so far I've made it through two verses and the first sentence of another one. And tonight I'm actually going to do, I think, another maybe verse and a half, something like that. And all the rest of it I'm going to do in the morning. And you think, well, that's not possible. Oh, well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I've got a plan. So we're going to look at Psalm 23 again, because we have lots of new people here tonight. As I've been saying, this is probably like the go-to psalm in the Bible. When people are hurting, they go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Made a point last night that he's my shepherd. When you look at it, you need to think he is my shepherd, not just a shepherd, but the Lord is your shepherd. He wants a personal, intimate relationship with you. I shall not lack. That doesn't mean that you're going to have everything you want the moment that you want it all the time, but it means that even while you're waiting for the things you want God to do, you can be content. Contentment is great. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. If you won't do it on your own, he'll be happy to make you. He leads me beside the still and the restful waters. That's talking about entering the rest of God. It's just absolutely the most wonderful place to be in. He refreshes and restores my life, myself, or my soul. Now, that's as far as we got this morning. And we talked about the soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions, and how God has to work in those areas, and how he changes us and loves us into wholeness, but how that also requires us receiving correction from God, and how we respond to that correction a lot of times in not such a great way. Now, I'm making a lot of analogies about sheep. Jesus being the shepherd and us being the sheep. And there are some sheep facts that are kind of interesting. Number one, they don't instinctively take care of themselves like many other animals do. So they constantly need a caretaker. They're wanderers. They'll wander out of the place where they're going to be the safest if they don't have a good shepherd to keep bringing them back. They're actually not very intelligent. They're considered to be kind of dumb. And they sometimes get cast down. And we see that word in the Psalms. David said, "Why so cast down, O my soul?" And when a sheep is cast down, it has gotten rolled over on its back and can't get up without some help. And then sometimes they get too much wool and they have to be sheared. And so that's kind of where we were at when we stopped this morning. Now tonight I have one thing that I want to get across to you. And if it takes me the whole hour that I'll teach to do that, so be it. But I want you to leave here with one thing tonight. I was going to go in some other areas, but I'm saving all the rest of it for tomorrow. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness and right standing with him, not because I've earned it, but for his name's sake. Now, let me just say a word about righteousness and right standing with God. Most of us spend most of our life feeling bad about ourselves, feeling guilty and condemned, ashamed, and like there's something wrong with us. Do you ever have that record playing in your head? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Anybody ever hear that? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And the devil wants to give us wrongness. He wants us to feel that we're wrong, that everything we do is wrong, that we're just not what we should be. And Jesus wants to give us righteousness, our rightness. And you can't produce something that you don't have in you. An apple tree can only make apples because God has made it an apple tree. And so it's foolish to teach people to behave right if they've not first received the righteousness of God through Christ. That's why just what I refer to as religion, and I don't mean to be rude by that, but when I talk about religion, I'm talking about just following rules and regulations and going through formulas that really have no life and no power in them. Just keeping laws that you think are gonna please God, when really Jesus didn't die so we could all have our own little brand of religion. He died so we could have an intimate personal relationship with God through him. When Jesus died on the cross, the thick, 3 feet thick curtain that separated, that was in the temple, that separated the holy place from the most holy place, was ripped from the top to the bottom at the moment that Jesus died. Why not from the bottom up? There was a point being made. It was too tall for man to reach it. It being ripped from the top to the bottom was clear indication that God was opening up the way now for the common, ordinary, everyday person to enter into the holy presence of God and have fellowship with him. So you've been invited into intimacy with God. That's what it means to be born again. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, at the close of this message tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're not inviting you to be part of a certain religion. We would advise that you get involved in a good local home church for accountability, for teaching, for fellowship, for worship. Lots of the local church is great, but we don't just need religion. And so religion sometimes just gives you a bunch of things to do, but never teaches you who you are in Christ. Now, I went to a church for many, many, many years, and although I learned some very good things, they had a good message about grace, and I learned about being saved through grace, and I learned a lot about doctrinal things, the virgin birth, and lots of really, really, really good things. But nobody ever taught me who I was in Christ. I never felt any better about myself at all because I had a relationship with God. I still just thought that I was this terrible mess that just could never do anything other than just mess up every single day of my life. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite scriptures, it says that he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, it's just important for me to take a minute and let you know that if you're a born-again Christian, then God views you as being in right standing with him, irregardless of what you do. And I know that's really hard for us to wrap our heads around. You think, well, won't that just give people a license to sin? No, because here's the thing. Once you know really who you are in Christ and the beauty of what he's done for you, sin is the last thing that you're gonna wanna do. You're gonna do everything that you can to please God, not to be right with him, but because you've been made right with him. Amen? So, no condemnation of those who are in Christ. So, it's important for me to let you know that you have a right standing with God, and you're in the process now of walking that out in your life. There's several ways I can say it, but I can say we're always in the process of becoming what we already are. So we're spirit, so spiritually we've been made right with God, but now in our experience, we're learning how to walk that out with God. I'm made the righteousness of God when I am born again, but then I get on the path of righteousness. And the Bible says that he makes our path brighter and brighter every day. Let's look at Proverbs 4:18. That's why serving God is just so much fun. Proverbs 4:18, we're going to go back to Psalm 23. I just realized I didn't finish it. I want to do that. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and brighter, until it reaches its full strength in the perfect day. And so here's the thing, we're always going to be growing spiritually. As long as we're here on this earth, we're going to be growing. We're going toward a point of perfection, but we will not finally be perfected in our experience until Jesus shows up and he finishes whatever's lacking in us. And God is not mad at anybody if they haven't arrived, but he is disappointed for our sakes if we don't keep pressing on. And so therefore, I am very proud of you. I want to compliment you that you took a Friday night out of your life and you have traveled, and many of you paid for hotel bills. It's cost you something to come here just to worship God and to hear his word. And that means that you are a serious believer. And I want to tell you something. God is proud of you that you care enough about him to do what you need to do to grow spiritually. Anybody who watches me for very long, you know that I don't serve up much dessert. Most of what I put out is meat and vegetables and spinach and stuff you could do without. But boy, if you stick with it, it'll sure help you grow. We get a little dessert every once in a while just to keep people from, you know, wanting to go hang themselves. But the truth is we need strong meat. I mean, the devil's alive and well on planet Earth, and things are pretty tough out there, and we need to be pretty determined that we're going to stick with God and be all that God wants us to be if we're going to do that. So we're in a process of change. We're in a process of growth. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm okay, and I'm on my way. So everybody say, I'm not mad at myself. I'm on my way. Now let's just go back to Psalm 23 here. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, not because I've earned it, but for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now we're going to stop there, and all the rest of that, I'll read it, but the rest of this we're going to save for tomorrow morning. We're going to have some real fun tomorrow. For you are with me. Your rod protects me. Your staff guides me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you lead me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, here's the message that I want to get across to you, and I'm going to tell you up front what it is, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the time re-reminding you and convincing you that what I'm saying is scriptural. Even though you're doing the right thing, and you're on the right path, and you're growing in God, you're pressing on in righteousness, your path is becoming brighter and brighter every day, that does not necessarily mean that you won't pass through what the Bible calls the shadow of the valley of death, which basically just means hard times. So we got to get rid of any kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm doing all this stuff and I'm trying to do what's right and the right thing's not happening to me and I'm just tired of this, so I'm just going to quit and give up. We need to leave the timing of our results in God's hands. Our job is not results. Our job is obedience. We do what we do, not even to just get a result, but because that's what we believe God wants us to do, and we know that if we do what is right, we will have peace. And listen to me, there is no way that we can ever fail and not be delivered if we're doing what's right. Amen.
Thanks for listening. No matter our life's circumstances, we do not have to walk through them alone. Let's learn to trust the Lord, and instead of trying to be in control, we need to allow God to be our shepherd. Remember, He wants to guide us every day. As we trust Him with each step we take, we can know that God is leading us to victory, a victory and blessing that He promises everyone, eternal life with Him. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
Well, I hope that you feel that I'm a partner in your life by teaching you the Word of God. And I'm asking you to partner with me in helping us continue reaching out not only to you through this program, but to so many people around the world that still don't know Jesus. Together, we can do so much more than what we can do by ourselves. So please, become a brand new partner with us today.
To join us in partnership right now, go to joycemeyer.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.